And I have something here in Jeremiah for you. Brother Jeremiah in the 33rd chapter. And it said the word of the Lord in the first verse came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Now you see, it says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Circle that word, I. I don't see you circling it. Circle that word, I. Would you do that, please? All right. And it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of the city and concerning the houses of the king of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with dead bodies of men whom I, circle that word I in the fifth verse, have slain in my anger and in my fury, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from. So circle that word I again in the fifth verse. Just read that, Kevin, that fifth verse in the Living Bible. What does it say?
It says, yet the Babylonians will enter, and the men of the city are already as good as dead.
You hear that? God said when they come to fight against you, he said, they're already as good as dead. In 2004, the enemy is already as good as dead. I'm telling you what the Lord has told me to prophesy. The enemy in 2004 is already as good as dead. I'm going to tell you a third time. In 2004, the enemy is already as good as dead. Amen. Amen. I said I'm prophesying to you tonight from God's word. Read that one more time, Kevin, in the fifth verse.
Babylonians will enter, and the men of this city are already as good as dead. For I've determined to destroy them.
God has made up his mind. You know, there comes a time when it is enough.
Yep.
2004, no more. Say, 2004, no more.
No more.
2004,
no
more.
No more.
2004, no more. Lord said, I'm determined. When God makes up his mind, nobody's going to turn it. No one's going to change it. And he said, when I choose to bless you, nobody, say nobody, is going to curse me. Did you hear me? Nobody is able to curse you when God chooses to bless you. So the Lord said here, I've determined, I've made up my mind. What's going to happen, Kevin?
I've determined to destroy them in my furious anger. I have abandoned them because of their wickedness, and I will not pity them when they cry for help.
Then it says in the sixth verse, behold, I am going to bring you health. Circle that word I in the sixth verse. And it says, and I will cure them. Circle that word I, that's two I's in the sixth verse. And will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. How does that read in the Living Bible in the sixth verse?
Nevertheless, the time will come when I will heal Jerusalem's damage and give her prosperity and peace. I will rebuild the cities of both Judah and Israel and restore their fortunes.
So the seventh verse, there's another I. Circle that. I'm going to cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at first. And then in the eighth verse, I'm going to cleanse them. You know how we're being cleansed tonight? By the word of God. The Lord says you have to be born of the water and the spirit, do you not? So tonight, the word of God is what cleanses you, and the spirit is what gives you the understanding. You're getting a shower on the inside. Some people just shower the outside, but the Word of God showers the inside. Can you say praise the Lord? I'm going to shower you. I'm going to cleanse you from all iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities. In the 8th verse, there's another I. Circle that. Whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, of praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. All your relatives and the ones that hate you are going to hear all the good that God is going to do for you in 2004. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. So there are two eyes in the 9th verse. How does that read in the Living Bible, Kevin?
This city will be an honor to me, and it will give me joy and be a source of praise and glory to me before all the nations of the earth. The people of the world will see the good I do for my people, and they will tremble with awe.
Oh, hallelujah. God knows how to make people tremble, don't he? And I preached yesterday, mountain moving service, as if God knows how to pull the wheels off of chariots too.
Yes.
You say amen? He knows how to pull the wheels off of chariots. When the 600 chariots of Pharaoh followed the children of Israel through the Red Sea, it said their wheels came off. So God knows how to pull the wheels off of people. Amen. Thus saith the Lord again. The 10th verse, there shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant, without beast. The voice of joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
And the voice of gladness. And the voice of the bridegroom. And the voice of the bride. The voice of them shall say praise the Lord of the host. For the Lord is good. For his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise. Are you here? Look up that word, sacrifice of praise, Evelyn, in Jeremiah 33:11. The sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as the first, saith the Lord of hosts. So there in the 11th verse, there's another I. Circle that again. Whenever God says I, he means what he said. What does it say in the 12th verse, Kevin? Read it.
This land, though every man, animal, and city is doomed, will once more see shepherds leading sheep and lambs. Once again, their flocks will prosper in the mountain villages and in the cities east of the Philistine plain. In all the cities of Negev, in the land of Benjamin, in the vicinity of Jerusalem, and in all the cities of Judah. 14th verse, yes, the day will come, saith the Lord.
The day is going to come, saith the Lord, that I, circle that word I, you got it? Will perform the good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause, there is I again, you know how many I's you've just circled? 14. Everybody say 14.
14.
You just circle 14 I's representing what? Passover. But it goes a little bit further. It says, and I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Talking about Jesus Christ. Now, we looked up that word branch in Unger's dictionary, and that word branch means prosperity. Everybody say prosperity.
Prosperity.
And not only does it mean prosperity, what else did you find for that word branch, Kevin? Representing kings?
Also had to do with
deity.
Kings, yes.
Had to do with deity, and it had to do with kings. So whenever you see that word branch, I will cause the branch, prosperity of righteousness to grow up unto David, talking about a prophetic word about Jesus Christ. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land in those days. Now listen, shall Judah be saved. See, after 14 times the word I is mentioned, you come to the word salvation. Salvation means what? Deliverance, spiritually, physically, and financially. This is the year of 2004. Devil, no more will you come against God's people, because the Lord said, I had enough. I've had enough, and now I'm determined to reverse things, because it says here that the branch of righteousness, talking about Jesus Christ. What did they wave when Jesus came into Jerusalem? Did not they wave palm leaves? What did it mean? They were saying Hosanna. You know what Hosanna means? It means Lord, save me. Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. They were waving the branches of prosperity. Oh, praise the Lord.
Yep.
I get excited when I read this. Man, people realize it's more than just a tradition. The same as communion, it's not just a tradition, but when you partake of that, it brings healing. When you've waved something before the Lord, like them palm branches, it's saying Hosanna, it means prosperity. It's the branch of David, which was prophesied about, talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. What do you got for sacrifice of praise, Evelyn?
Both words had an asterisk mark next to them, which means there was a different translation in the original. Sacrifice of praise means literally burnt sacrifices for offerings of thanksgiving.
Offerings. Everybody say offering.
Offering.
Everybody say money.
Money.
Oh, my. Shouldn't mention money. I get excited about it. I'll show you what prosperity means. Talking about the branch, so Evelyn, two times, it mentioned what?
Sacrifice of praise had an asterisk mark next to both words.
Yeah.
And sacrifice in the King James was actually in one word without the yes. It was a singular. But in the translation, it's sacrifices. It was changed to a plural, which means to bring many burnt sacrifices for offerings of thanksgiving.
Bring burnt sacrifices, offerings of thanksgiving. More than lip service. Lip service is cheap. That's what they tell you in Brooklyn. Put your money where what?
Your mouth is.
Put your money where what?
Your mouth is.
That's what you ought to tell your boyfriend and your girlfriend. Put your money where your mouth is. I wish somebody would say praise the Lord and promise a whole lot of things. And if it wasn't for Abraham, Lot would have had nothing. I'll tell you again, if it wasn't for Abraham, Lot would have still been a poor boy over in Iraq. Because it was from Iraq that Abraham came from. And that's what the word Hebrew means. The word Hebrew means from across the river. Is that right, Kevin?
Yes, from across the river.
Across the river. What rivers did they cross?
The rivers Euphrates and Tigris.
That's what Hebrew means. Say, that's what Hebrew means. Everybody says, oh, it's a nationality. It's not a nationality. It's a word that means from across the waters. Say, thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
I hear you, Pastor.
I hear you, Pastor.
Amen. From across the waters. So it says in Genesis 49:22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. See the word branch?
Yes.
You see branch? Circle that word branch. Man, has to do with prosperity. So how does it actually, what does it actually mean, Evelyn, in Genesis 49:22 when it says Joseph is a fruitful bough? What are they talking about?
Well, fruitful is one who gets the increase.
Say, the increase is mine. Go ahead.
And the word bough doesn't mean a branch or a stick from a tree, but it means a steward who is a money manager.
You hear that? This is a prophetic word that Jacob is giving his son. He says, you are going to be a fruitful bough. Give me that word fruitful again is what?
Fruitful is one who gets the increase.
One who gets the increase. And the word bow is not talking about a tree. No. What was it talking about?
It's talking about a steward, which is a money maker or a money manager, and one who is anointed.
You're going to be a fruitful bow by the well in Massapequa. We're here drawing from the well tonight, folks. But you got to draw with joy. Are we having some fun here tonight?
Yeah.
You got to draw from the water with joy. Draw from the well with joy. So what does that mean by the well, Evelyn?
The well is a fountain or a source of a great supply.
Great supply. And then it says whose branches run over the wall. There it is again, branch, prosperity, or deity. What do you have for that?
Well, there was an asterisk mark there next to whose branches, and it literally said his branches. And the word branches here means a mighty one with strength, courage, and valor. And when he runs over, it means he mounts above and he marches through the wall.
Nobody is going to keep you from the blessing. Amen. They can try to put a wall around you. A wall of tradition. A wall of gossip. No, some of you didn't hear me. I said a wall of tradition. And a wall of gossip. Can somebody say praise the Lord? I tell you again, a wall of tradition around you. A wall of gossip. Like Saul wanted to put his armor upon David when he went out to fight Goliath. But David said, I have improved that armor. You see, people want to give you their opinion on what you should do in your life and what how you're going to get out of that problem. They can't even get out of their own problems. They're going to tell you how to get out of a problem. Here, Saul was afraid to fight Goliath, and now Saul is giving David advice. Here, take my armor. David said, I don't want it. I'm going in the name of what?
The Lord.
Whose name you going in tonight?
The Lord.
So that word branch is prosperity. Nobody is going to fence me in. Said, the devil ain't going to fence me in. Want to try? That's how many of you got here. They fenced you in, but you became so skinny and undernourished, you fell through the cracks in the fence. And you came dragging in, you came straggling in to Massapequa, all like the mad cow disease. Stumbling in. Couldn't stand. You fell through the cracks. They fenced you in their traditions. Some were even told, don't come here. That man's the devil. Don't want to go there. They want to keep the fences of tradition up around you. But you got so lean and undernourished, you fell through the cracks. Go ahead and praise the Lord. My, oh, me, oh, my, jambalaya, crawfish pie. Brother Joe, when he was younger, used to cut grass for this Baptist church in Queens, and he used to get 25 cents for working how many hours? For a whole day. They gave him a raise to 50 cents for the whole day.
Ha.
Hello, church.
Amen.
I said to you, they gave him a raise to 50 cents. Cutting the grass, 25 cents for the day. They finally gave him a raise. He fell through the cracks and he made it here to Massapequa. Now he's putting on weight. I wish somebody say praise the Lord. So here we are with the branch again. Runs over the wall. In other words, they cannot fence you in, and nobody, say nobody, is going to keep me from the blessings of God. In 2004, say devil, no more in 2004. Oh, go ahead and pray. Stand to your feet and praise him tonight for victory.
Hallelujah.
My God, my God. Oh, Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. You may be seated if you can. Kevin, what does it say in Genesis? The 16th chapter and the 16th verse. What does it say there? About Abram being 86 years old. What does it say?
You want to know King James?
Yeah, King James is good.
Says, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram.
You hear that? 86. Hello, ladies. Hello, men. One night I'm going to have your senior citizen cards brought in here. Your discounts. 86 years old. Ishmael is born. But the point I'm bringing out here is that 14 years later, everybody say 14 years later.
14 years later.
Is when Isaac was born. Get the number 14 again? 14 years later. Because he was 86 when Ishmael was born, and he was 100 when Isaac was born. So if you know a little bit of mathematics, if you add that together, 86 from 100, it's 14 years. Is that right or wrong? Did I make any mistakes, Dr. Barry?
No, that's correct.
That's correct. Thank you. So he was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. Now, here's the part. Read what it says, Kevin, in Genesis 21 and 6. Get a load of this. Turn to someone and say, get a load of this.
Get a load of this.
Now, listen to this part. This is interesting here. What does it say there?
Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh.
She said what?
God hath made me to laugh.
Go ahead and finish it.
So that all that hear will laugh with me.
If you get to the original translation, the word hath made me is omitted. You see, man always tries to help God out. Man always tries to help God out. They don't want to let you know that God has a sense of humor. That God knows how to laugh too. How it should actually read is God laughed. Everybody say God can laugh.
God can laugh.
He was laughing. In Genesis, it wasn't Sarah that was laughing. Hadn't made me that. Was that omitted, Evelyn?
Yes, those three words were omitted in the Hebrew. Hath made me.
Are omitted.
Yes.
They added that in the translators. So it should read, God laughs. You know why God was laughing? He took pleasure in the situation regarding Sarah and laughed outright. You see, when you don't believe it's going to happen and God makes it happen, he laughs about it. Amen. Say, everybody say, surprise.
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 Surprise. Surprise. Read it, Kevin, in Genesis 21:6.
21:6?
Yeah, Genesis
21. Sarah said, God had made me to laugh.
So had made me is not there. So God laughed, Kevin?
Yes.
And then read on.
And all that hear will laugh with me.
That was omitted too. That word, so that, is omitted. It was in italics. And all is everyone that hears who understands or perceives what is happening. They're going to laugh also. You're going to be merry and you are going to laugh. God is going to cause the miracle to take place. And that's why he was laughing in spite of the unbelief. God brought it to pass. And I don't care who believes. There are those that do. But I'm going to keep prophesying it. And when it happens, we're going to laugh about it. Can you say hallelujah? I said, when it happens, we are going to laugh about it. I'm giving you the word of the Lord. How many like the word of the Lord? My, oh me, jambalaya, crawfish pie. Get excited about the word of God. If God can laugh, why can't you laugh in church? People take everything so solemn the minute this book is open. This is your lottery, honey. If you just won $100 million in the lottery, you'd be shouting all over Long Island. You heard about the man that won $100 million, calls his wife, he says, honey, he says, I just won the lottery, $100 million, says, pack your bag, says, where are we going? He says, not we, you.
Yeah. And that was you.
You, baby.
That's what happens when you get the money. Are you getting the message? Amen. Brother Benjamin, I like that word, Benjamin. Amen. What does it say in John 15, Kevin? What does the Lord say there to us?
And what verse?
First verse.
I am the true vine.
He is what?
I am the true vine.
And what?
And my Father is the husbandman.
Go ahead.
Every branch in me.
Every branch. Are you the branch?
Yes.
Are you in him? What does the branch represent? Deity and prosperity. Say deity and prosperity. I want you to know that you are somebody. Start putting a value on what you are. Can you say hallelujah? Your citizenship is in heaven. Read that again. I get excited, Kevin. What does it say?
I am the true vine.
Go ahead.
And my Father is the husbandman.
Go ahead.
And every branch in me that beareth not fruit.
Start from the beginning again.
I am the true vine.
Go ahead.
And my Father is the husbandman.
Go ahead.
And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
You know why he takes it out? So you can bear more fruit. So you can get more blessings. God has to pull the dead wood out because the dead wood takes the life from the branches that are alive. When something is dead around it, it takes the life out of that which is alive. It takes sap from the tree, but no fruit is being brought forth. So what does he do, Kevin?
He says, in every branch, he takes it away.
Go ahead.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit.
Oh, hallelujah. You know what happens here on Wednesday night? We're going through pruning. Ah. We're going through pruning. That's what the Word of God does. That's why you have School of the Prophets. We're doing a little pruning on the Word of God. Let you know what a branch means. Letting you know all the I's in Jeremiah 13. So when the devil comes and he says to you, is it written? You say, yes, it is written. I'm going to show you when the Lord gets upset. Can I show you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, you didn't say anything, so I didn't know if you wanted me to show you. I don't know. Well, I should show you or not. All right, here's what the Lord says. All right, in Hebrews 10:38, it says, the just shall live by faith, and if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know what the Lord means by drawing back? That's when you put your bills before God. That's drawing back. When you put your sickness before God. When you put your disappointments before God. That's drawing back. And the Lord says, when you draw back, when you put these other things in front of me, he said, my soul will have no pleasure in you. That's how people draw back from God. People say, well, I go to church, but you can still draw back if you put your bills before your tithe. That's drawing back. If you put your hurting before God, that's drawing back. Whatever you put before God is drawing back from God. When you put your anger and you put those that you don't like before God, that means you're drawing back. That's why many are weak and sickly, Paul said in the Lord's Supper, because you don't discern the Lord's body. And that word Lord is omitted. It's not talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about the body of Christ. Now, you might have a little toe, and you may not think of it as any value, but it's part of the body. Can you say hallelujah? You may not think there's any value to it, but it's part of the body. So there are some parts of the body that you might not like. But whether you like it or not, you're going to have to accept it. You're going to have to accept your hair pieces. You're going to have to accept your false teeth. You're going to have to accept some other personal things that go on in your life. I won't get into that. But I think you know what I'm talking about. There are some things there's no need to explain. Because you think, I think you know what I'm talking about. You know, I was laughing today. Like, you know, God makes you laugh. I told you the story years ago of how I put a turn the website off. Is it off? Okay. I told you years ago of how I put a telephone in the bathroom of my office. And I got criticized about it, you know. Oh, I bet you're spending extra money for it, you know, like it was their money, you know. Like, well, you spend your money, I'll spend mine the way I want. You spend yours, I'll take care of mine. Everything's hunky-dory. So I put a telephone there. And who calls up? Telephone, pick up. I'm there, sitting there, enjoying my stay. Sister DeLuca calls and said, the Lord told me to give you $20,000. I said, oh, hallelujah. I got blessed on the bowl.
Amen.
But you know why I was laughing today? We had to get a new toilet about a year ago. I forgot to tell you this part. And the fella that sold us a toilet is a friend of my, he's a friend of Kent's and the biggest distributors of plumbing equipment in the whole Eastern Seaboard. And when they gave us the toilet, he gave us a gift. I have a heated seat. You ain't lived. You ain't lived till you have sat on a heated seat. It plugs into the AC outlet. It's plugged in. There's a little switch on the side. And when you're ready, flip the switch. You sit down and you're toasty. I mean, you talk about comfort. Isn't that nice, Kevin?
It's outstanding. Can read the newspaper in comfort.
I never knew they made heated seats. I didn't know them things happened in life. As though they threw in a heated seat free of charge. So you see, God laughs. People criticize you. That's why they can't prosper in life. They can't prosper in life. Because the Lord said the dead wood. And he said the dead wood he plucks out. It's over with for the dead wood. But he said the life, the branches that are good, he sends them to the tabernacle on Wednesday night and you hear about heated toilet seats. How many have never sat on a heated toilet seat? You remember? All right, let me ask. How many have sat? You did, Harry? Harry did? You didn't sneak into my bathroom, did you? Oh. one person out of all of you, Brother Harry, is sat on. How do you like that, Harry? Nice, isn't it comfortable? We can't get Kevin out of there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, okay. Me. Just when I get comfortable, you knock on the door.
Yeah. It's my turn. Brings a little comfort in your life. Hey. Yes. Lillian, does God have a sense of humor? Yes, he did. Salud. Salud. Happy New Year. May you all live to be 101. Come on, let's stand and praise the Lord. Come on. Yeah. Hey, praise Him. Now, wait a minute. Listen. Listen. I don't know. What is a toilet seat like that cost, Kevin?
That desk can't. I don't know. $1,000.
For a toilet seat?
Oh, for the seat? It's got to be a couple hundred dollars.
I pray all God's people can have a heated
400,
toilet seat.
400.
Huh?
Kent said 400.
400 for a toilet seat. My
God.
That was a gift. It was a gift. You see, God has a sense of humor. Is today the 14th? While that music is going and the joy of the Lord is here, I want you to get out $14 or the closest you have to it and come down to this altar and let's stand around this altar and offer that sacrifice. We are the branches of the Lord. Get over here. Yeah, come on.